Access number 28670, Mr. David Wilson, reel 13. Now, what were you bad conditions, not very good tank. Oh, sorry, ARV.
The Churchill.
The Churchill. What were you actually doing then? What did you do on this exercise? This is 1954, summer of 54, is it? Or
yes, 54.
Now, so what do you remember? What were you actually doing?
Well, it's really just following the regiment. Can't honestly recall having done anything practical or physical, physically worth talking about, except trying to manage this Churchill ERV. And there was a bit of sport involved. I remember there was a knockout football match, and the LAD actually got to the final. And I was playing, because there were not that many guys in the LAD anyway. And we lost in the final. We got a runners-up medal. There was an official presentation of the medals, and the medal we got wasn't inscribed, and we had to give it handed back, I think to the RSM, to have it engraved. I never saw it again, and I suspected they use the same medal every year for the football matches, so I didn't even get the medal.
Anything else about your time? Were you enjoying the return to army life? You know, because
it was
mold in the condition.
Well, yeah, it was. Again, if I had known then what I know now, I think I would have joined the TA proper, even if it wasn't just for the money, because it would have supplemented a garage mechanic, young, newly married motor mechanic's wages. Probably doubled it, I would think. But of course, at the time, again, newly married.
So you mean after your national service commitment, you could have thought of joining the TA?
A lot of people did. A lot of people I know now actually continued on and joined the TA, as well as doing the compulsory service with
now
the TA.
Now, why you decided not to? Any reason, or is it just a merit?
By the time the time was up, I was committed. Newly married, and I was looking for better jobs all the way along the line, and I had quite soon got a job as a foreman at R.H. Patterson's, and assistant service manager, as they termed it, and that was very long hours. You know, you just didn't have the time.
So all your concentration was on your civilian life rather than the TA side.
It was inevitably, simply because it was very time consuming.
Did you do another annual camp? Just to
did three altogether. Two at Castle Martin. Where was the other one? Both at Castle.
Anything
the first
happened, or did you get any promotion with the TA?
No, it was the whole thing just tapered off, really. As a matter of fact, after the 43rd Royal Tanks converted to...
Now, tell me about the conversion. When did that happen?
Let's see. It must have been towards the end of the 3.5 years compulsory service. So it'd be about 57.
What impact did that have on you and the unit? Because they needed an LAD.
It's actually, come to think of it, I may just have done two camps, because I cannot remember a third one with the Fusiliers. So I think that with the conversion of the 43rd Royal Tanks to the Fusiliers, it all fizzled out. So, you know, the sort of connection with the...
So which battalion did they become?
Sixth City Battalion.
Northumberland
Fusiliers.
Now, did you stay with them, or did you just leave?
Just on paper, I was with them.
You didn't attend?
No.
Was there any? Were you required?
Can't recall. No, it must have come to the end of the time, me commitment, and it fizzled off.
So you left in 1957?
About 57, yeah.
Now, the only other thing is that you're a member of a 25-pounder gun troop.
Oh, yes. Well,
that's a bit strange. Can you tell us the story of that? Because that's quite interesting.
Well, it's after again, perhaps about 15, 20 years ago, becoming interested in sort of resurrecting an interest in military history, I joined the Western Front Association. I knew two guys locally who were founder members, and I went along with them. And obviously, people attending the meetings were concerned with other associations, and one of them was the Tynemouth Volunteer Artillery Association, which is a historic unit based at Tynemouth Castle.
So it's a Tynemouth Volunteer.
It's the proper title is the first. Apparently, they're the first on the artillery register in the army. It's first volunteer artillery, brackets Tynemouth Association. That's the full title, and it goes back to 1859.
Now, who are these, and where do they meet?
Well, they're lucky. They're a successful military association, a veterans association, in as much as they're affiliated through historical connections with the 101, the 101st Regiment Volunteer Artillery.
The TA.
TA, yeah.
And they're a field regiment, are they? Or what are
yes,
they?
They're a field regiment. They've got those multi-launch rocket system drops and launchers now.
Now, so that gives them some support. So what is the... is it just a veterans association? In which case, how come you're in it? Because you weren't in it. Do you see what I mean?
Well, as attached personnel to an artillery regiment, you qualify. And so I made inquiries and joined as a full member. And of course...
And when was that?
This would be... about 5 or 6 years ago.
So 2001?
Yeah.
2000,
about, approximately.
Now, what does it entail, being a member?
Well, there's a once-a-month meeting at the Sergeant's Mess at the 101 Regiment at Gateshead, which is the RHQ battery, or HQ battery.
What are these meetings about?
It's generally speaking, it's a meeting to restate the objects of the association, read the minutes of the last
meeting. What are the objectives, though?
Well, it's an old comrades association, but of course they can take it further with being connected with a regiment and having some members commissioned officers in the regiment as members of the association, then a position to organise trips out. For instance, we did a trip to London 2 years ago, and we went to the IWM one day, the Firepower Museum another day, and ended up on the way back calling it St. John's Wood to see the King's Troop and have the conductor tour around there.
Now, you've got your own gun thing.
Yes, we...
Now, explain that, because that's the most fascinating bit. Although you're LAD, you're now a member of this gun team.
Well...
How does that arise?
It's the actual... Being a member of the gun team, obviously... in
now
this day and age.
Hang on, explain what the gun team is.
Well, we refurbish it. We, and what's more, we've gone a stage further. Well, I'll start at the beginning. The president of the regiment, the association at the moment, is Colonel Willie McCracken, and he's retired now, but he got a military cross in the Falklands. He's much admired and a very pleasant and quite a powerful man. He has his connections, and the association had decided, just more or less coincidental with me joining, that it would be a good idea to have £25. Now, there's other Royal Artillery Association branches have got £25. There's a couple in Kent, and they use them for ceremonial and other purposes, loan them out and this sort of thing. So they thought it would be a good idea if we had one. So Willie McCracken put the whole thing in motion, and we ended up getting a one which was in quite good condition. I'm not sure of the outlay. I seem to think they're talking about £400, but it might have even been donated at the finish. We might have got it for nothing. But anyway, we got this £25. So they're looking for volunteers, not, as the gun team suggests, to fire it, because it had been deactivated. They had deactivated it by running two stitches of weld underneath the LBM, the breech mechanism, to stop it from dropping. So it was strictly ceremonial and used quite a lot by the regiment for a gate guard at the functions, and we, the gun team, went and cleaned it and bulled it up. We actually repainted it, and then we got to the stage where we found that a lot of people were interested in it, and they were quite happy to make a contribution to the association. So we thought that it would be a good idea to perhaps exploit this. But then we came across the problem of transportation. And of course, you can't always rely on the regiment to be able to supply a suitable vehicle, a drop, for instance, to lift it on bodily and take it to a location and then collect it again. So we thought it would be a good idea to have a trailer for it. So in I became, with my connections and my background, I became the main one in procuring this trailer. And of course,
what kind of trailer?
Well, it was a light commercial trailer with two decking channels and an exposed middle for vehicles such as Ford Transits and this sort of thing. And it had been sort of stored in the open for quite a while when I saw it, and it needed a bit of work. But anyway, we approached the guy that owned it, who was quite happy to let us have it, and we ended up sort of agreeing £100 for it. But in the event, he just gave it to us. He donated it. But then it had to be modified, refurbished and modified, in order to take the gun and have anchorages made which were suitable for the gun, and the chassis welded where it had rotted away in a couple of places and this sort of thing. So we spent a good couple of years on going up every Wednesday. There's four of us. There's and I wouldn't care. There's only one artilleryman among them. There's myself, who was Remy, albeit attached to the Royal Artillery. There's a chap who was an engine fitter in the Fleet Air Arm, and there's another lad that was an engineer. He was a professional engineer, but he was in the Royal Signals when he did his national service. And the other fourth man of the team is ex-regular RA. And we've got it now to the stage. In fact, just last Wednesday, we painted it and we're ready to go. The only snag is finding a prime mover for it, because with all the health and safety regulations, it's now, you know, towing behind a Land Rover apparently isn't permitted. It cannot be towed on the road by itself because it hasn't got overrun brakes on it. It's only got a parking brake. So it's got to go on the trailer. And a suitable vehicle to tow the combined weight of the trailer and the gun is, I mean, it can only be provided, say, by the TA. And it's a question of working on somebody. We are hopeful because the HQ battery has been disbanded, and they're forming a radar troop out of it, and they're being attached to the 204 battery, which is part of the same regiment, the 101 regiment. And by the way, they were they're the remnants that have the title in brackets of Tyneside Scottish. So tomorrow, the 1st of July, is their regimental day as well. But anyway, where we're up to is that we've got this thing mobile, we've got a winch for it, we've built a caster, which is a work of art in our opinion, so we can, I mean, with the average age of the guys doing the job being in the 70s, we don't need to go running about with hand spikes and traipsing about, you know, running about with a 25-pounder. So we invented and manufactured this caster that goes into the trail. And, of course, you can just run around with it on the flat in any direction you want, you know. So we've been much admired over that. But the thing is, we can now unload it. We can load it onto the trailer. We've got the technique using the winch and a pull lift, which is from the quarry. It's a pull lift. There's another term for them, but in the quarry they call them Sylvesters. We use it in conjure. It's a lever, a ratcheting lever with a chain block, and you can use it to assist the winch to get it up the ramp.
But the gun, when it gets to its destination, is just a gun. There's no pretend gun drill.
Well, thereby hangs the tale, because we were advised by the DRA, after inquiries were made by the president of the association, that it would be in order, because we noticed that in the Gunner magazine, other branches were actually firing theirs. So we approached them officially, and it was decided that we could reactivate it. So we have done. We've ground the welds off underneath the breech, and the breech works, we can lower it, and so the gun could be loaded. The only thing is, obviously we'd only use it for ceremonial purposes, such as a minute gun, at a service.
So who's the gun team, or who would be the gun?
Well, when it comes to firing the gun, it's going to be, there's a guy in the association that's got a black powder license. He also has a shotgun license. And apparently, the parameters of a shotgun license are that the ball must be smooth, not exceed 2 inches in diameter, nor 2 feet in length. So that the idea is to make a sleeve which will fit inside the breech, inside the barrel, reducing the diameter to 2 inches. Have a cap on the end of it with provision to insert a cartridge. And this guy with his black powder license can make up the charges, the bags.
But will there be anyone actually doing a pretend gun drill around the gun?
Yes. The intention is...
Will that be?
Well, it'll be us, but we'll have to be trained to do it. We did have one session of just before one of the days out we had. We had one session at the 204 battery with an instructor, a man who was experienced on the 25-pounders, an old soldier, instructing us on manning and crewing the 25-pounder.
And how did that go?
At first it was like Fred Carnos, they were all tripping over one another, but eventually we got the message and we were quite good. So the idea would be to build on that and to have a proper... proper firing routines, and I mean the guys that have done the 25-pounder obviously favour it to be part of the gun crew, you know. So,
well, best of luck with it.
Thanks very much.